everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, the show where we talk about nuts and bolts of making comics. And this week, we actually are joined by a very special guest. After Andy was down for a little bit with some sickness, we decided we had to come back in swinging. Andy, I'll let you take over and introduce our guest.
Sure. Well, I'm doing better. I'm sure everybody was very, very worried about me, but I'm well again. But today we've got with us writer extraordinaire, Mr. Mark Waid, well known for writing, I think, just about everything at this point, at some point or another, but very popular runs on books like The Flash, JLA. He wrote Kingdom Come. I don't know, the list is really too long to go into, but you were a founder of Guerrilla Comics, as I recall, and Thrillbent, but you've also been an editor at DC and Boom, and you recently had the Archie reboot, and I saw that your role there has expanded lately. Now, are you just adding a second book, or are you kind of more in the into the planning now?
It's both of those things, actually. It's adding at least one more book, maybe two, and then beyond that, helping sort of find an outreach program or establish an outreach program, because I'm eager, as they are, to get younger voices, more diverse voices into that universe as a writer. You know, trying to get people who aren't white guys in their 50s writing about these teenagers.
I don't think I've ever met anybody younger than you, though, Mark. You are the youngest.
Man.
Well, that's interesting. It kind of dovetails into one of the things I wanted to talk about with you, because you do a lot of interviews and you've talked a lot about the craft of writing, which you're obviously very good at. But you don't get the chance or to talk about your sort of editorial role as much. And that's really where you started your comics career. Is that correct?
That is, in fact, what I figured I would be doing. I never actually wanted to be a writer in comics. I actually wanted to be an editor when I was, you know, in my early 20s. I honestly didn't know how you would come up with ideas every month like clockwork. This is the God's honest truth. I had no idea. So I just assumed, I mean, my role models were not necessarily Alan Moore and Grant Morrison. My role models were more Julie Schwartz and Robert Kaniger and, you know, Roy Thomas and guys like that who edited comics. So, but here's what comes of that is like 2 years at DC of editing comics meant that I was working with every established writer in comics on anthology books and so forth. So all these scripts were pouring across my desk, and it was a crash course in writing. It would have taken me 10 years to learn what I learned in two just by being able to work with all those guys.
Yeah, I felt like I had a similar experience when I was an editorial. I didn't realize you were only at DC for 2 years, because I feel like even now, I mean, I still read a lot of stuff that's not, you know, fresh out this week. And when I go back and I read some of my favorite stuff, I often find your name as an assistant editor. So I have this feeling of you as having been there for
quite a long time. I know, but it was really just like a shade over 2 years, two and a half maybe. But like I said, I learned a lot and I worked on a lot of stuff when I was there. I worked on Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol, and I worked on, you know, getting that Batman Gotham by Gaslight book up and running with Mike Mignola.
Right.
You know, I helped establish the Elseworld stuff, worked on Secret Origins. And again, the editorial suited me well, and I like dipping my toes back into that pool every once in a while.
Well, if you're working on that many, you know, especially those anthology books, you were working with established pros, but you had to have also been working with new talent. And what did you find that, because you still do outreach to new talent, and like you were saying with Archie now, but you've done that throughout your career. What is it about working with new talent and helping them and helping develop their skills appeals to you? Is it just your good nature?
Well, yeah, just because I'm a good guy. Some of it is voice. Some of it is you know, making sure that we continue to introduce new, fresh voices into comics, because we desperately need that. Part of it, too, is that you know, and you know this as, you know, from the teaching angle, is that having to articulate to others the skills that you have or the way that you do things or the craft that you have learned, having to articulate that to other people forces you to really think about the way you do things that otherwise is sort of by gut or some, you know, otherwise is sort of subconscious, the way you handle your work or the way you approach things. So in that way, you know, you get to learn as well as teach if you're working with younger talent.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense to me. I've just been sort of restructuring some of the courses and found that some of the old examples I had used aren't really necessarily true anymore. That the way I do things has changed, and I've found better ways. And then having to talk about those again it helps cement them for me. I do understand that, but I also very much understand the need for new talent and keeping, because the way I look at the comics industry is it's this small part of the entertainment industry, but it's also a microcosm. And I look at it and think we just constantly need new and fresh voices. And I know the struggle for folks trying to break in and how difficult that can be with the system we've got. And is that sort of a big part of it too? Is you're feeling like we sort of the greater comics industry need to do this to prolong, to pass the torch, so to speak?
Right. Exactly. Because otherwise all your favorite comic creators will die off in the next 10 years. as Steve Wacker, you know, as editor Steve Wacker loves to say, and it's my favorite thing he says is, you know, in comics interviews or comics news pieces or whatever, it's always, you know, we just caught up with Mark Waid, or, you know, we just caught up with Alan Moore. We caught up with Simon Bisley. They catch up with us. How hard is it? You made it sound like it's hard. Most of us can barely climb a set of stairs without breaking a sweat. So, you know, most of us get tired eating a sandwich. So it is probably, again, wise to bring in younger people, if for no other reason than we want there to be comics 10 years from now when we all die. So it's really important. But like I said, it has less to do with largesse on my part and more to do with, you know, gosh, I just, like I said, I like teaching. You get to the point too in your career where you've learned enough where you just want to pass it along to other people because you want that knowledge to live on past you. You want those observations to live on past you. And I certainly don't have anything to say about comics craft that someone else doesn't also have to say, but I at least have it in my own voice, and I can say it in my own way that perhaps other people can't say. Or everybody has their different combination of skills and different combination of observations and thoughts about how comics work, and, you know, mine are as unique as anybody else's. So if I can pass that sort of cocktail of thoughts along to other comics creators, that's good too.
Yeah. When you left editorial, did you go straight into freelance writing? And if so, was that scary for you? Because it was for me. I just want to make sure.
I did, and it was scary. It was, you know, I had tinkered a little bit. I think I'd done two or three stories when I was on staff at DC Comics, just little things here or there. But when I went freelance, the thing I was depending on was I made enough friends in DC editorial and enough contacts where there would be jobs waiting for me. I didn't know what those would be. And, you know, it occurs to me, in fact, that I didn't go straight. I'm trying to think. Did I go straight into freelance? I did go straight into freelance. It wasn't a steady enough workload right off the bat, so I went to Archie Comics, actually, for the first time for about 3 or 4 months as an sort of editorial assistant slash, you know, gopher slash jack of all trades, and worked there several days a week doing everything from coloring work to coming up with covers to proofreading to all that stuff. But eventually enough freelance work was coming across my desk where I felt comfortable just going full-time freelance. And it's been a good gig, and I cannot in any way or shape promise that it would go this well for anyone else. But I've been incredibly lucky that since about 1990, I've never had to look for work. There's always been something there for me to do.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm glad, because I really like your work. When Joey and I first mentioned the master seminar that you've got coming up this weekend with us, I talked about how I had been an assistant editor when you and Mike were doing Fantastic Four.
Right.
And how when I left Marvel shortly after your run ended, you were one of the first people to give me writing work. And we flipped roles. So you were my editor when you were chief at Boom Studios. And I appreciated that a lot because, first of all, we already had an established working relationship. But in flipping roles, I suddenly understood a lot of things that I did not understand before.
I know. Surprise. Yep. Like in your case, what is there any one or two things specifically that stand out that you learned that you didn't realize from the sitting on the other side of the desk?
The big one for me was, you know, as an editor, I would often wind up pointing out something that as I would read it, I would be like, oh, well, that really doesn't work. I'm surprised so-and-so did that or attempted that thing. Not because I was surprised that they would try and push themselves, but in cases where it wasn't really pushing themselves, it was just like, yeah, that's not right for that character, or that physically wouldn't happen that way. Like those sorts of things. I always was like, I'm surprised that they didn't stop themselves and do that. So I would give those notes. I would never, at least I hope I didn't ever do it in any sort of condescending way. But there was a point in Challenger Deep that I was writing, I think it was the third issue, about five pages into the third issue, maybe four pages in, where I had a character in the downed submarine at the bottom of the ocean exit the submarine and in a way that doesn't work. It's physically impossible. And I knew that when I was writing it, and I kind of just squinted and was like, we'll go with this. And you called me out on it. Not in any kind of mean spirited sort of way.
No,
you called me out. Like, yeah, I don't think this is going to work. He's got to get out another way, or you got to figure something else out. And I wound up having essentially a page one rewrite on issue three, but I never figured out how to get him out of the sub. And so I wound up rewriting the entire, or re-outlining, I should say, the entire second half of the series. I actually think I like it better the way it wound up being, because A, it's honest. I don't have him do something that's physically impossible. But yeah, it was one of those like really eye-opening things. Of like, oh, I see. It's really, really tempting to be like, it works enough-ish.
Yeah.
And move through. Yeah.
If you're editing, under, at least if not the best conditions, you're editing under decent conditions where, you know, yeah, it's under combat fire. I mean, if you're editing on staff, you're always doing it while a million other things are going on. So you're just kind of reading a script in pieces and, you know, or better, if you're anything like me, you were reading scripts to and from the office while you were commuting because that was the quiet time. But you're still kind of doing it during the day when you're awake and you're functioning and your mind is on that stuff. Whereas, you know, as a freelance writer, sometimes you're doing it at 1 o'clock in the morning because that's the only time there is to grab. And it's much easier to hand wave stuff away at 1 a.m. than it is to do it in the middle of the workday. Yeah.
Yeah. And at that time, I was doing a lot of like writing at night because we had just had a baby and I was staying home with the kid. Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy times. And actually, while I was writing that, I was in the middle of a move across the country on top of
that. Oh, I remember that. That's true. Yeah. Jeez, yeah.
Those were good times. I'm surprised that thing actually wound up getting written at all.
I know.
I think that's about all we've got the time for. I do want to thank you very much for coming on to the show, of course.
Sure. And my pleasure.
And also mention, because we should have this up this week. And this coming Saturday, March 18th, Mark is with Comics Experience doing what we call a master seminar, and he's going to spend several hours doing this seminar on script writing for comics. And nobody knows more about comics, I don't think, than Mr. Wade here. So if you're interested in checking that out, you can just go to the Comic Experience website, and it's under our courses. You can drop down menu into writing and production courses, and take a look and see if that's something you want to sign up for.
And Mark, the best place for folks to find you is thrillbent.com, and I know you're pretty active on Twitter as @MarkWade. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Excellent.
Anything that you think people should be checking out coming out from you in the next, say, 2 or 3 months? Anything in particular you're excited about?
There's more Archie work to be announced, which is pretty cool. And there's one Marvel book that that is pretty exciting to me that we will probably be announcing in the next 2 or 3 weeks. It's Chris Somney and I did Daredevil. Chris Somney and I did Black Widow. And now that we're done with Black Widow, we have a third thing in mind that we're going to be doing. And I think people will be really pleased with what we've chosen.
All right. That's intriguing. I'm intrigued. All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, that sounds good. So keep an eye out for announcements about Mark Wade. That's what you're telling me.
Yes.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks again. Joey, do you have any last thing to add?
No, I think that's a great amount of information, and I'm looking forward to hearing how the seminar goes. I hope you all can tune in for that. Like Andy mentioned, it's coming up on Saturday. Mark, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right, and until next time, keep making comics.